Guess what decision we're about to make.
Horrible decision.
Welcome, whores. We got one in the building today. Not Mandy. Not me. It's Weezy. Welcome to Horrible Decisions, the most disgusting show you've ever heard in the podcast world.
What's up, y'all motherfuckers? It's your girl, Mandy B, a.k.a. Tripod Mommy. I'm in the building. You already know.
Sorry. We have Dante with us, a requested guest over and over.
I'm not going to lie. Really? A few years, actually. Really? At this point.
Seriously.
And like, I'm just, not going to lie. A few years.
Maybe you ain't reply to us back then.
Nah, I don't ever not do that.
I mean,
it's possible I didn't see it, but I don't know.
But people were like, you got to have Dante on. And I'm like, why? But why, Dante? Why we got to have you on? Why do you think people feel like we fuck with each other?
All I do is I try to stay righteous. That's it.
Please.
That's all I try to do. And that's on a strength. So my podcast, I've been doing my podcast for 8 years.
What's the name of it?
It's Man School 202. Initially, it was the Beige Phillip Show. Before Beige Phillip, it was a Black Phillip show that I did with Patrice O'Neal. Back in 2006.
Damn.
We did it as a radio show.
I ain't even going to let you know. A bitch was in high school back in 06. I don't know if I want to age myself like that. But
So,
you got a podcast, but what are you known for? Because to me, when people are like, you need Dante on, how do people know you? What do they know you for being?
Well, so just as a relationship guru, I guess that would be.
Are you married?
I am now. Just recently.
Wait, you was given though relationship advice before you was married?
Yeah.
But what made you the guru?
Because I know everything about this. I'll give you the background.
Go ahead. I want to hear it.
So I was a male stripper for 10 years.
Shut the fuck up.
Because you look like a security guard.
Well, now we talking about like years ago.
Okay. Okay.
So I was a male stripper for, I will bring up the Instagram and
shake you up.
So I was a male stripper for 10 years. Okay. And then I was like managing other male strippers. And then I started managing a club. And then I did a little personal management.
Personal management. It also starts with a P.
I did that for a few years. And so the perspective of being a male stripper is you have to understand attraction from a woman's perspective. If you don't understand that, then you don't make no money.
Facts.
So, and the way men see attraction is different than the way women see attraction.
I am interested too, and we're going to get into it later, but a lot about, you know, pimping is perceived in a way that's so misogynistic.
Well,
but
it is.
I'm assuming that you did protect women. So I want to talk about those things later, because I feel like when we've discussed it with escorts, a lot of women we meet are independent and it seems like the good way to go. But then there's also these moments where safety comes into play. Yeah, a lot of these laws that are fucked over, like SESTA, like, you know, they cross-referencing clients and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, even when you see somebody who's independent, they still got a guide who rides them and knows that they, you know, somebody that got their back, somebody that can, you know, crack jaws and knock heads if they have to, you know, if that needs be. So, I mean, that's the point of it. But I think what happens is there's principles to everything that you do, and you got to follow those principles. So,
yeah.
I didn't like. I don't think nobody decides to be a pimp. Women actually turn the guy into a pimp.
See, this is like when niggas tell you made me cheat.
It's not really. Because here's what happens: is you would never think that you could put somebody in that position. Somebody has to say to you, "Yo, I dig you. I would rock like that for you."
Yeah.
You know, I would make some money for you. And you like you don't start out thinking that's like nobody who goes, I want to be a pimp, does that. You don't wake up and go, I want to be. It don't even work like that. There's a thing that you have to have. That
and maybe
women,
you mean a good one or not, but I think a lot of men want to do shit like
that. Yeah, but they.
Because it's glorified culture, right? You got people that want to be drug dealers. That's just the truth. And I think people that want to get into that type of life.
But dudes who want to be drug dealers usually are not good drug. You know what I'm saying? They get caught. It's got to be somebody that goes, yo, I really dig you. You know, like. I tell you this thing. I was dating this girl. I was like about 20 years old. And I had, you know, those little standing lamps that you click the button.
Yeah.
So I broke the the knob. So every time I had to turn it on, I had to leave it on and plug it in, or I had to, this is when I was broke. And
she was like, let me sell this pussy and get you a new one.
No, what happened was she went to the store, found the lamp, and she stole the thing off.
Okay.
That's pimping.
That is not pimping.
No, what I'm saying is the
all right,
the fact that she didn't want me to even hurt my fingers. She was like,
a woman buying a gift for a man,
but she stole it.
It's the perspective. I'm saying the perspective of it is the same. It's the same. So I have a thing that I always say, that true wisdom is the understanding of underlying concepts, how they relate to situations that seem irrelevant, but really are not.
Okay.
Meaning, if you learn something and you boil it down to the root, to the cosmic and universal truth, that truth can be reapplied over and over and over and over again in situations that seem like they wouldn't, it's not even relevant.
I wonder if there's something to be said with, like, I was listening to this interview with a porn star that was talking about how she went to jail for a dude before. And I wonder if there's something like the pimping thing. It's like when women will do anything,
yeah,
right?
That's
when
exactly
it's not
what
necessarily.
It is.
But I mean, and that's the thing, right? And I think that's where it comes from, is when there's independence and you align and join forces with somebody. That doesn't really happen with madams. Notice that that's only the dynamic with men. Yeah. I've never heard a woman being called a pimp.
But to me, it's different. So I dipped and dabbled in being a madam for a lot of years early on, because I just knew a plethora of women that were willing to do whatever for some change.
I went to school with plethora.
Yeah, plethora, bitch. You know I be fucking up my words. But also, I knew a lot of men that were willing to spend. And so I was the middle woman. But I think the difference is too, and tell me if I'm wrong or if you experience this, but to me, because I wasn't necessarily having relations with those women, I was able to just have kind of that.
It's like a business.
I was able to have that business relationship with the women that, right, here you go, and let me do it. Sure. As far as with a pimp, the women that are engaged in that type of lifestyle normally do have an emotional attachment and a relationship with the male that, as a woman, I didn't have with those girls.
Right. Well, it is a give and take. Now, I'm going to say that one of the reasons why I stopped was because it's an immoral profession. And I got to the point where ethically, I couldn't do it.
How many women, what do you call it? Rotation? Harem?
Well, I mean, at the best, I had 12.
Were you fucking all of them?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That sounds exhausting.
But it is exhausting. And that's kind of the thing with relationships. It's all dudes want twosomes, they want threesomes and this and that. But if you can't fuck one woman properly, how you bring
it? I say it all the time.
You feel me? So
do they fight all the time?
I mean, that's the thing. It's a difficult.
Or is it like sister wives?
Even if it's sister wives, there's a jealousy in that you have to create the parameters that doesn't happen.
Was you like, bitch, stop being jealous of that other one? No,
so it's a real interesting thing is the reason why I got into the whole relationship thing, because that is a relationship, or at least in a good situation, it's a relationship that you have to read her needs, all of their needs, simultaneously, and fulfill those needs.
Did you forget names? I'm trying to name 12 friends right now. Like, you know how hard
I can name 12.
Yeah, but it's going to take me a second to just like get my names together.
Yeah, but you're not every day. If you're with them every day, then it's a different.
It's, but what you said, we actually, during quarantine, we interviewed a poly couple down in Memphis. And he actually said that same exact thing. He was like, a lot of men want to have multiple girlfriends and all these different women, but it does take time
and energy to learn
women and how we talk about love languages a lot as well, but to learn how everyone receives the things you do,
right,
how you give it back, and for them to also learn
it's
you.
It's exhausting.
It is.
It's
I can exhausting. Only imagine.
It's exhausting. And that means you also, if they want sex with you, you gotta show up. You gotta show up when you don't want to show up.
Oof.
Like, so you know, it's great when you know, everybody's like, oh, I've had dudes where I've counseled dudes through my podcast, and they were like, yo, I want this and I want that. And then they, you know, I would get them to the point where they might have 5 on the roster. And then we're like, yo, I'm tired. I gotta go to, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you broke it. You bought it. Like, this is what you wanted. Now you gotta
episode of Big Love.
Make the trip. You gotta go make the trip. Because if you, and if you're not gonna make the trip and you can't give her what she needs, then you need to slide back and you have to be honest about that. I guess
we jumped into it and fuck it. Cause now my head is really moving around. Like, let's talk about what I know, what people think of pimping, whether it be from movies or music or whatever. Do you take care of all of them as far as food, shelter?
Yeah, absolutely.
So they all live together?
Yeah. I one time I lived with all of them, yes.
And so how does it work for, is it like, okay, because like with a cult, you know what I'm saying? You make money for the cult and then the cult takes care of you.
Right.
So do they get money separately?
Well, you take care of them. The money, you get the money and you take care of them. But I mean, the point is.
But why don't they do it alone?
Because they're missing something. I mean, people are broken.
Yep.
People are broken and they want people to fulfill whatever that mode is. So, for instance, if you have somebody who comes from a very toxic childhood, a lot of times, and this is not just, I mean, we're talking about the pimping, but it's relationships. You'll find a woman who's toxic. She will find another toxic dude. Mm-hmm. And she will repeat that toxicity in everything that she does. And then she'll be like, man, ain't this a minute. And then you'll find that she'll break up with that dude and she'll get another toxic dude. So
right. So
I have this philosophy I talk about. I don't know if you know what brackish fish are. I
mean, no.
So there's a fish called African cichlids. They come from a lake in Tanzania. And they come from this lake and they're, you know, there's tribes around it. So they shit in it, they piss in it, they wash in it, they cook out of it. And so there's a bacteria in the water. And so those fish become adapted to that. Now, if you set up a fish tank and you have African cichlids, you have to set that water up first. You have to put a bacteria culture in the water. You have to balance the pH. Because if you put those fish in clean water, they will die. So what's the normalization of bacteria or toxicity is what feels home, like home, feels comfortable. So if you have somebody who comes from an abusive situation, it's almost more painful for them for you to treat them better.
How you would assume people want to be treated.
Because it doesn't.
This is so fucked up.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
And this is like when we talk about, it does. But it's like when we meet people that get out of jail and they like doing certain things because it makes them feel like they're still there. Or even, you know, I had a conversation with this chick who went to jail and she was talking about how it was more stable for her than her household. She was like, the regimen, she was like, don't get me wrong, I didn't like being there. She was like, but the regimen was like something that was necessary.
It's more comfortable.
But I mean, that's been there for 5 years.
People go into armed services a lot of times because they don't want the choices. And so what I think what happens is we have this kind of norm of what we perceive things should be. And that norm may not have anything to do with what you particularly want.
But it's also the idea that I think a lot of times, I mean, we do it almost daily by looking at the blogs, looking into our friends, our parents, all of their relationships and judging them. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what you're saying exactly ties into that. Like, this idea of normal does not exist. Right. There is not a normal relationship because what, you know, Weezy may like in her relationship may not be at all what I would want in my relationship and vice versa.
Sure.
So I like the idea that that's what you're saying. Like,
I'll go
depending
one
on
fur- even further, in. You know. Me as a man, if I'm dating you, I'm dating you. What I want from you is totally different than what you want from me. So it's specific even in the context of that. And so the agency, what I say the agency, I mean that what people perceive is this is the normal, is that has nothing to do with what the real feeling is. And so one of the things that,
I feel like when you're talking, we gotta go like this. I'm just like, the preach, my brother. Yes.
Well, you know, this is well thought out. So you're gonna be snapping a lot. So,
okay.
So this is well thought out.
One of the things is, so when I said righteousness about it, I have an acronym that I use whenever I talk to dudes on my Man School 202. Let me plug that again. is ACE. The acronym is ACE. It's authenticity, credibility, and empathy. Mm, right?
Okay.
So authenticity is just truth.
Okay.
Honesty and truth.
Which niggas don't have. Okay.
Credibility is I say what I mean what I say, and I do what I say.
Which niggas really don't do.
Okay. And empathy is for me to perceive the tribulations that you have to go through on a day-to-day when I'm asking for things.
I love that you were teaching me these three things.
We don't need to figure out where them motherfuckers can enroll.
We need all these niggas enrolled into that shit.
How much is
tuition? What is it? Man school?
Man school 202.
202, all of y'all. All the men listening.
Bring us on there and let us do one.
I would definitely have you on too.
Well, those three things, I think, and it's crazy because men think that we are these complicated creatures, and it's literally those three things that really women want the most simplest fundamental aspects of you to literally be just a good human with us.
And all of those are blanket under honesty.
They are.
Let me say this.
All depends, unless she's a toxic individual, then what she wants from you is that toxicity.
So real quick, because you keep saying as well that both parties can be toxic. And I think that this leads into as well just the conversation. I don't think a lot of women own up to their toxic behavior.
Sure not. So, well, you've never heard the terminology a woman of her word.
Man of his word.
You've heard man of his word, but you never hear because you're not held to those standards. You're allowed. The expectation for you to be to have a level of emotionality about so what your reality is perspectively is shaped by how you feel in that moment.
Okay.
And your feelings move. They move and it's a flow.
Okay.
It's just not like that. And you find this and you're making faces, but here's what I'll prove it to you because what happens is women have different friends. You got friends you shop with, friends you party with, friends you creep with, friends you, and so women tend to be very malleable and they have different friends.
I feel like this dude that I used to fuck with must listen to Dante.
Because he said this
one thing to me that I always remember. And seriously, because out of anyone I've ever dated, he was the most like, he'll always tell me, I'll never lie to you. Never gonna meet a nigga like me who will be this honest and transparent. And he really was. Mm. And one of the things he said to me when we were breaking up, it was so difficult for me because like, I just couldn't understand how it was happening. And he said, you have so many friends you do things with. And I'm just like a toy that like the second someone's going to throw it out, you just can't stop playing with it. You have to know it's there. And he's like, you just want me there. And I know that because of the different friends you have. And it's true. I talk about it on the show all the time. I have friends that if I want to get super high and get lit and go raving or do my Black Lives Matter protest or whatever. Now I have friends that can do all of those things, but
dudes
for the most part. Yeah.
Dudes,
they stick with it. And they now, don't.
Even my shady dudes, I know he's, we all know he's shady. We just don't let them. We don't let them know money.
But you know what y'all do have? Bitches like that. Y'all have a bunch of different bitches that do different shit. You got one that's the one who's like the homeboy that you could do this with. You got one that fucks you nasty. You got the wifey type. I don't believe that y'all will find a place.
But that's because of the fact that guys don't feel as though they're dope enough to say you may not be the one. You may not be the thing that you think you are. So if I don't have a problem, so it's like when you talk about authenticity, that authenticity could be hurtful if it's something that you don't want to hear. Do you feel what I'm saying? So you may have this perception of who you are and what you want, and I may not think so, but a guy
knows that we probably would not be able to handle your perception of us.
Exactly.
You know what? I'm done with you already. So,
you see, I ain't snapped in a minute because I don't like what you're saying.
You know, you're supposed to snap if it's true.
Okay, so we got our hands on the table and we are going.
And the next segment is
vanilla shit. So Dante, this is our segment where we pick sex in the news, just an article in the news that we found that has sex in it. Mm. This one I like. How long does sex last for most people? This is going to be average time. What's ideal and factors that affect the duration? I want y'all to take a guess.
7 minutes.
I'd go with five.
5.4 minutes.
Damn. I gave y'all niggas too much credit. See what happens? See what happens when I give them too much credit?
Vaginal intercourse lasts a median of 5.4 minutes before the man ejaculates. Anywhere from 3 to 13 minutes is normal, but the average is 5 minutes. 5.4 for men. Now, I want y'all to take a guess on how many minutes it takes the average woman to orgasm.
A lot of bitches ain't orgasming. A lifetime.
So this is a 2020 survey. There's a few thousand people in here. This is women having sex with men, 2020 study. Just penis and vagina. How long does it take?
Only internal.
I was about to say, the fact that a lot of women come clitorally.
Okay, foreplay is included. The entire sex duration.
45 minutes.
I was going to say...
Hold on, wait. Let 17. Me rephrase it. From start to finish.
17.
Benson, you have a guess? It was 13 minutes.
Oh, I was close. I said
y'all
17.
Y'all both did it, man. All right, this is like a minute.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
13.4.
I think so.
How long is your foreplay? Shit, you be edging?
I rock out. I'll do a 45 minutes. It's crazy. I'll do a 45 minute quickie. So.
You sound like my nigga. I literally, like, last night, he came over because he's going out of town, and I was exhausted. Didn't even want to have sex.
How long is he going to go out of town for?
Till Sunday.
Oh, when you said out of town, I thought he got you exhausted.
No, he's going out of town.
I was just really,
but I'm so tired. We had been out all day. He picked me up from the studio. We just were going. And so I was like, baby, I'm tired. So I gave him a massage. He ended up still fucking me, and he was like, you was really going to let me go out of town without giving me no pussy? I was like, okay, I'm sorry it won't happen again. But that's the thing.
Take it.
I'm scared because he doesn't know how to have a quickie. The fact that you just said your quickies are 45 minutes, that's him. And I'm like, babe, this isn't like no quick thing. It's a whole production.
I've dated girls where they were like, I would just always want to make me come. And they'd be like, you know, they talk and shit. And I'd be like, well, you know, I'm not that, 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 that. And they'd be like, you know, like, be careful what you wish for. But I mean,
what do you guys think that women consider too long? How many minutes?
Sex minutes or real minutes?
Let me see.
I guess it's real minutes.
Nope. Sex. Well, not real. I thought you meant the entire vaginal sex, the entire time.
Too long when my pussy start drying. I will say
it's a range.
I will say between
7. I'll go 7 or 11.
Okay.
I was going to say 21 to 23.
Wow. He was right. After 10 to 20 minutes, people think it's too long.
Oh, shit.
But I got to be real with you. I agree.
Really?
I had a sex tape that I watched the entire way through. It's 14 minutes long. And at the 9-minute mark.
You were like, this could have ended.
I was like, oh, I want you to come. I want you to come. Please. God damn. What is it?
I don't know. So it's crazy because I don't know. I guess I do enjoy it. So we take breaks, I guess, which is maybe why it does last to me so long.
Like dick sucking breaks?
No, like to me, it'll turn into whole almost body worshiping breaks or oral breaks. And so I don't feel like I'm being pounded the whole way. So when maybe he would... Probably when I get to the point where I'm like, come for me.
You probably shouldn't be pounded the whole way.
No, of course.
The vortex, the scoop, the ice cream scoop, the cork scoop.
There's different emotions.
Let's go back. And I like food. What is the ice cream scoop?
Well, ice cream scoop is under and around.
Your dick is
in on the bottom, the scoop turns and around the rim. Like, so
now, what kind of helicopter do you have?
You move your hips.
Oh.
So, yeah. There you go.
Oh, so that.
You act like you never heard before, and then she's.
I want her to leave again.
I done put on a strap before. I might have did the motherfucking ice cream scoop.
I did watch this video with this dude fucking me. I'm like, now this ain't a twerk because it wasn't just up, down, up, down.
But it was like a little, it was different. Okay, so the ice cream scoop.
Hold on, wait, let me think. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
What's the corkscrew? Because that sounds...
Corkscrew is around and on the back. The vortex is in from the left side, out from the other side.
Wait, niggas really have...
I mean, he named the moves of his dick
in the vagina. The vortex, the cortex, and the ice cream scoop.
The fuck? Nigga, get me. I just want to get fucked. Like,
I'm not yelling it out. It's just happening.
We normally associate just the position, but I guess I've never thought that men do change the motion.
He was a male stripper. I have a good, what I call a utility dick.
I feel like his dick is like 7.5.
It's not a... Around, it's like around 8.25.
He said, "Give him that half an inch, bitch."
But it's not a porno dick, but it's a utility.
But
it's like a pickup truck. Like, because if you need intuitive. To pick a couch up, I got you. But, like, I can't move a whole apartment.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like,
all right.
You know, you got, yo, could you help me with this fridge? I'm like, yeah, I got you.
I can scratch the itch and do a corkscrew, bitch. Like,
okay. Now, you already kind of just gave it to us, but our hors d'oeuvre segment is the sex tips, and we love to leave it to the guests. Do you have any one blanket tip that maybe works for everybody? Is it men for women, women for men?
I think, so one of the things is I say you can't, whenever a relationship doesn't work, it's, and I get in trouble for this a lot of times, because it's always the man's fault. And I'll tell you why. Because it's, if you have a woman that's too strong, you can't tell a woman, you know, I mean, and all of y'all have done this, oh, girl, he's nice, give him a chance. What you're really saying is, he's not strong enough to handle you, so be weaker, so that you can give him an opportunity. And you can't do that. That alleviates the attraction. The attraction is the fact that he is stronger. Like, a woman only finds a man attractive who she thinks is better than her. And better is a relative term.
I'll agree with that.
It's a relative term, because if you got a dude who you feel is, you're better than him.
Better. I've always said that, like, when it comes out of my mouth, I've said, I like men I can learn from. Not necessarily in my head, my thinking better, but I see
it's
what you
better.
Mean.
It's better. It's someone it's that's relevant to what you think is better.
Yeah. I wonder if that's why sometimes the age is what attracts me. Like, I feel like younger men aren't getting it, or I've experienced too much.
You trying to tell me something?
No, not what you're married in.
I just asked.
I've already had ice cream. But that's interesting, because I want to know how you feel about that. Because, like, when he said it, I was like, okay, he's too nice, or give him a chance.
Right.
But what if it's because someone is being good to us and we're not used to that?
It's still his inability to recognize that he's being too nice is his deficiency.
Okay, I get
it. So even the fact that he's deficient in his ability to perceive what's going on. And so you, like I say, if you want to be a man, there's no vacation days in manhood. You got to show up every day.
This is a toxic episode.
You
this
don't.
This is interesting.
Because I agree and don't agree.
But I also just kind of had this conversation last night as well. Like, to the fact that when you date someone, you need to allow them to show you who they are.
Yeah.
And I was having this conversation because my nigga hates how much I passenger seat drive. And he's like, I don't know what it is with you in driving, but you just, you know, I'm going to get you to where you need to go safely.
I am not surprised. No. You are such a control freak, Mandy. Is Benson making this face? Is it
Benson? Benson's even making this face. So even in the car, he was like, you have to, like, allow me to show you that I can get you from point A to B without you.
Being a control freak. A control freak is a product of your own personal insecurity.
I can get that.
And so if you're not insecure about yourself, then you don't need to control everything around
you. But I mean, I guess it's also more so just other things that I've been in. I mean, shit, I've been in two car accidents with Uber.
Which means that you are insecure.
All of my friends have totaled their vehicles, and now I'm in it. It's not totaled now.
Yeah, which is your insecurity about being in a car.
I think about being safe.
Trust me, I
have a huge trust issue. So for sure, right. if we're pulling out my insecurities, I have a huge insecurity in allowing the trust for someone. And it's crazy, because even my other podcast, me and my producer, she posted my episode last night, and I was like, bitch, this one's supposed to go out till Monday. And she was like, oh my God, the first time you trust someone, and look, I fucked up. And so she even knows how hard it is for me to give up any sort of power to anyone else.
Well, and so in order to gain that trust,
right,
I have to recognize immediately that I have to be present enough to recognize that you're insecure. And then I should be able to see you rev up, and I should be able to go, look, listen.
That's what he do. That's what he do.
Good.
He do
good.
That's what he do. Even when his gas light is on, I'll be like, nigga, I ain't gonna push this truck. And he's like, you don't think I know how long I can drive in my own car with the gas light on?
Even that's too much.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I do in the car. It's always the car shit. It's really the
explanation
car
of it is too much. He has to go, listen,
he do.
Not even going through the my, I know that, even that is too much, because any discussion gives you room
to wiggle my way.
And yeah. you gotta. So when you ask about a sex tip, it's being present. You have to be present. Mm. So being present, being in the moment, and in order to be present, you have to be the best version of yourself so that when you're making moves, you're ready. Like right. you've trained, if it's a boxing match, you have to have been trained and did your road work and did your pad work and ate right. So you're ready. So when you step into the situation, you're not insecure.
I know. I got to start.
I want to also normalize the word insecure for a moment, because to be able to have an adult conversation to acknowledge, like, yes, I know I'm insecure.
Because I said insecure on Patreon, yeah. And it, like, we've attacked each other using that word before. Yeah. But that's why I really do also appreciate, like, and I can take that and what you're saying and not use insecure as, oh my God, you're bullying me, but take it as, I understand that I do have a huge trust issue right. with people.
But that has to come from his authenticity.
It is. But when you know your own insecurities, you can help people that you're dating, your partner, sure. guide you through them. Sure. You know, one of my biggest insecurities is consistently across the board, not providing enough. Like this week, I'm very busy with work and I haven't been able to, you know, make dinner or do certain things. And it's always on my mind. Like, it's an irrational fear, but like, oh my God, I'm gonna fuck somebody because I can't fucking make dinner. Like, really strange. I don't know where it comes from, me feeling like I have to do it all, but I feel like from
even me being around you growing up, your mom, I think it comes from that. Your mom is so catering. I know that even when we would come home late from the club, she would be like, do you ladies need any water? Y'all want me to make you cheese and crackers?
My mom does not sit down.
Your mom does not stop. So I feel like you may have just innately took those things. And I don't see it as a bad thing at all. But if you're saying like, fuck, it sometimes drives my relationships crazy.
Anxiety. You also have to look at, so when you're a child and your mom is around, that is the true depiction of what you see womanhood as.
And Ms. Jewel was that bitch, okay?
You emulate it.
But the problem is, my mom didn't work. Not necessarily.
Okay, got you.
My mom was a housewife. So yes. Now I'm trying to be that woman and still work.
Without the variables, the only other variable.
And I very much, a lot of the times, don't feel like I can fulfill both roles.
But what you're saying is, what's crazy, and I think that it's what makes women so great right now too, is the fact that we still have this social construct of gender roles in our mind. Mm-hmm. So when we do get into these relationships, we do still want to come off as wifey or girlfriend material. And so we do know that we have to cook, clean, and do all of these things
for
our
man. The fact that my man's more clean than me,
yeah,
just tidies up.
Oh my God, my nigga be doing the same. I mean, like, literally before he walked in last night, I was like, babe, I've been out. So don't judge me. It'll be clean when you get.
I can't like buzz him up without the conversation of like, oh, it's gonna be really bad when you come in here. I don't know what to do.
Same.
You gotta also be able to. You gotta be able to forgive yourself for your own flaws. So I think what happens more often than not, we have this ideal self, mm-hmm. and if we're genuinely working to be the best version of ourselves, then that should be enough. The problem comes in when you set these goals that are unrealistic, and then you don't forgive yourself. I mean, we're all human beings. There's two things that you will always have to do for the rest of your life is give forgiveness mm-hmm. and ask for forgiveness. So as long as you start at that base, that mistakes are okay, as long as we are working to fix those things. And so getting back to so that same principle is present in sex. And so paying attention, being present in that situation. So for instance, like I'll tell dudes so I do a consultation business as well. Like you can go on my website, dantonero.com, and you can click on consult.
It'll be in the description of this episode.
You could hit me up and book time with me. But so if a guy, say for instance, if a guy is missionary style, right? Mm-hmm. And he's present. If a woman is pushing her hamstrings against your quads, your thighs,
okay.
You're too deep. You are too deep. You're too hard. But if it's deep, your hips will relax and your legs will fall back.
Okay, like you're enjoying it.
So you have to pay attention to what those physical cues. So if she's pushing against you, you can't go, yeah, I got her now. And you have to, you got to meet right.
That's the interesting thing about men. And as I when I was younger, I feel like dudes would always want that compliment for making girls scream and things like that. And it's like, my most enjoyable sex wasn't me fucking screaming, bro.
And it
like,
might have been if that's where you're at. But the point but
it's the point of like trying so hard to like get this reaction when you're really not putting thought but into
then,
what you're doing.
But then the reaction is what you want. It's not what she wants. So you got to pay it. Like, even if you know, guys would be like, what's the best way to go down on a girl? And I go, you can't.
It's not, there's we're no, all not the same.
Exactly.
So to know your partner is what you really need to do, not so ask the next nigga, how do you go down?
I would say, you know, there's women that want direct content. There's contact. Women that can't take direct contact. Small circles on the hood, underneath the hood.
You got names, not the hood. Well, he got all these little
we
names.
We didn't for, ask for the mechanic
well,
shit.
Well, I mean, this is the podcast.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is, so what I would tell a dude is if you watch a woman's diaphragm, you watch her diaphragm drop and increase as she's breathing. The deeper the breathing is, the more you're on point. Because as her breathing deepens, it's because she's more relaxed and she's falling into it deeper and it becomes more sensual. So if you're watching her stomach, her abdomen rise and fall.
That's a really good sex tip.
And if you,
I've done that with oral sex
and
women.
The hate things you want to, you don't want her skin.
Right.
And you think, oh, I got, because it's ego.
Right.
So, but you, in order to remove the ego, you got to first be dope.
Say that shit.
So if you're not dope, then you're trying to, you're showing off.
Yep.
That's man's insecurity. Yeah. So if I'm present, and this comes from an authentic place of me trying to please you, then I'm paying attention.
I think we could do, that's a tip for both, to be honest with you.
Absolutely.
The diaphragm shit, like, I've learned that, like I said, from women, because it was a little bit easier to notice. But, like, after that, I've, not consciously all the time, but I listen to breath, like, a lot. And when I'm pleasing somebody or, like, the sounds and, like.
Yeah, I don't even like music, because I need to zone in.
I can do a little Brent Faiyaz. But anyway, real quick, I want to do this whole fact, because I found this shit to be super interesting. You know, there's only all them shows, John, Kate, Plus 8, and all these bitches popping out babies. This whole fact, most prolific mom, Guinness World Book of Records, and this was from 1998, so maybe...
Guinness what?
Book of World Records.
Oh, okay.
What the fuck you thought
you
I said?
You messed it up, but it's okay. I just wanted to... Go ahead!
And there's a plethora.
Bitch, shut the fuck up. I think you can say it either way, though.
You can.
Thank you.
I believe it's plethora.
You can say it
anyway,
either way.
So this bitch had a plethora of children. Nasty enough. Biggest hole I know, because the number is 69 kids. Fucking insane. The woman Holy was shit. From Shuya, Russia, identified as the only wife. And this man, but by the way, was on record for having the most children, too, of Fedor Vasilev. And she had 27 pregnancies, 16 pairs of twins, 7 sets of triplets, 4 sets of quadruplets, according to the world record.
Fuck. Oh,
Guinness.
Fuck.
I can't get that up. Bitch, 69. 27 pregnancies.
That's so...
How her pussy just so, didn't, like...
I think he had a kink for pregnancy.
Had to
it's
be.
It's also grossly selfish on her part. There's no way that she could provide and give those children the emotional support for them to be productive human beings.
What do you think is your max?
Maybe 2.
Wow!
For me, my max would be Bodhi.
My cat. That's her cat, by the way.
That's my cat.
I think the max probably could be 3 or 4.
One for me. If it
3 or 4, maybe if you're not working, you independently rich, and you. I mean, if you think about how many people you know that are just garbage. They're garbage because
of their upbringing.
People, you know, you have children and you're not raising them how you want them to be as adults. You're raising them just as it.
My mom tells me all the time that. She's like, I couldn't have had another one. She's like, I felt like there was a lot of energy and a lot of things I wanted to teach you. And she was like, and I couldn't balance myself. Like, I think one was it. Like, she always says that. She's like, I don't think another one could have came out.
And I think also it's a situation where it's sort of like buying a new laptop and then you back up the laptop from your old
computer,
your old backup. Okay. You know what I mean? Like you
forgot all the shit.
No, I'm saying like you have viruses and malware,
right?
And then you just download all your shit into this back brand new laptop, new and then you
Dante,
wonder why.
Do you like love analogies
It's easy to understand.
If you take a laptop,
you know what I would go crazy with, and tell me if your wife does. I feel like if I got in an argument and you brought up some
analogy
and compared me to some, I'd be like, I'm gonna shut your ass up. I'm mad about you in the trash. Here's the thing.
My wife was listening to my podcast. She's from England and she was listening to my podcast.
Okay.
And for 4 years, she was dating this dude. She kept telling her dude, listen to this podcast, listen to this podcast. And then she came from England to get me. Like her, she with the intention to get me. And then that's
she got you.
Well, got I mean, you, bitch. It's a situation where you
hold up.
That's crazy. And I always say I would never fuck or be with a fan. So do you consider her a fan though?
No, I mean, everybody's a fan until you know somebody. You know what I mean? I'm quite sure you know famous people. You know famous people, and then when you get to know them.
I'm still a fan.
Yeah, I'm nobody's fan. Do you know what I mean?
We just got on Charlamagne's network. I think we could both agree we're a fan of that legacy, a fan of his work, fan of Breakfast Club.
I don't look at it as a fan. I look as inspired. I'm inspired by great people, not
that's
a fan.
Only because you attracted to her. I'm sorry. I think this is a blurred line.
I don't understand what you mean.
And I'm going to say that because I feel like when you're digesting it differently because you're into her, right? You find her attractive. There's something different about her to where she don't look like a crazy fan to you. But let her have been ugly and she done came here to get your ass.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I would never say that I don't want somebody who I don't find attractive.
No, but I mean, the line to fandom is just dissolving because I think it changed for you. But it's still fans.
Well, it always changed for me. The point is, you know, I've had fans who see me as fans and I go, and I don't really want, see, fandom is an interesting thing, I think, because if you idolize people, what you're ultimately saying is, wow, you do something that I can't do. And I don't never think somebody does something that I can't accomplish.
I can never be in the NBA.
I get it. I could never do that. You're talking about the physicality of it. What I'm saying is somebody who's accomplishing things, I don't ever look at somebody and go, oh, that dude's better than me.
See, I know that's that right. Also well, makes I tell you, I really just felt like you were a little better than me because ain't nobody come from England to come get us, bitch.
Not yet, but even doing this shit 8 years. We only 3.5 in. We got
they
time.
They coming.
Well, hurry the fuck up. And you said she came 4 years ago?
No, 2 years ago.
Okay, good. We got another few years. So, in our horrible decision, I have the jack of all hoes because you seem to have done it all. The stripping, the pimping, the relationship guru.
Stand-up comedy. I act. I was in second season of Power. I did a movie with Channing Tatum. I did eight episodes of Blacklist. I did acting for a while. And stand-up comedy I've been doing for 20 years.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah. What are you the worst at? Best and worst. Self-deprecating's fun.
I'm trying to think of. I don't know. I'm just dope.
Look, that nigga said I'm good at all of it.
I'm not. That I want to be good at that I don't think is attainable.
I can dig it. I can't hold you.
I suck at tennis, but I don't even care about tennis.
I know that's right.
Okay, same.
I suck at chess, but I don't care about chess. I don't like to gamble. I suck at cards. I don't like. You feel what I'm saying?
But well, you're good at everything people you want
to
be good at.
Seem to take heed to you with is like relationship guru stuff. And I have a few questions I want to get into before we get out. One of the ones that comes to my mind that so. I use Reddit a lot for, I sound really crazy, but cooking and like making stuff with weed because I feel like anything I'll find on Google is not it. And in this Reddit thread, there's like a women's only empowerment thread and there's no men in there. And basically they try to talk amongst each other with things that they want to know. And a lot of the younger girls in these threads ask some basic ass questions that sometimes I think I don't know the answer to. And one of them is, do sleepovers mean anything?
I mean, if you have a guy. Mm-hmm. Of course it means something. I mean,
but does it
a though? Guy is, the problem is that you're being disingenuous. The woman is being disingenuous. If you know when a guy likes you, you know if he wants to fuck.
I don't think women know when a guy likes you.
Yes,
I don't.
Yeah, they do.
We as women are telling you, we don't know when a guy really likes
us.
We don't really like you. So if we're hanging out with you, we like you. I'm not hanging out with somebody I don't like.
But, okay.
And even if I don't like you, I want to fuck. So you know that.
Okay, but I think that's the issue. I can't figure, and when I say I, in this moment, I have someone that loves me back and we're together and it's cool, I get it. But even with that nigga, in the beginning, Dante, no, I did not know if he was passing the time or wanted to fuck me or actually saw something in
him. How long, we mean, did he want to, look, we want to fuck you. We always want to fuck you. The point is, once
we always want to fuck.
Once we fuck you, then we go, okay, what else? What else you got? Like, what else is in the fridge?
That's an interesting point. So you're telling me that the sex happens and then they're kind of just waiting to see where it goes? Because that's what this nigga basically told me.
The thing is, what happens if you'll find a situation where you know, a woman is holding the sex because she thinks so, whatever, whatever.
It's not right. I agree with that. Like, yo, the holding out on the sex is not
but the I want what you got to give. Now, what do you have to give? Now, what you have to give may not be worth shit. You may be garbage, and the pussy might be bananas, and you might be garbage, or you might be the pussy might be garbage, and you know what? The point is that there are human beings of physical, intellectual, and emotional intimacy. So we all have a kind of a standard that we want those things. That maybe you want an 8 in intimacy, and you want to, you know, you don't mind the nigga not being that dumb, or maybe you're not that smart or whatever. Right. But you need those things to meet. Which is more important? None is more important, because I know I've done consultations with women where this chick had a gorgeous dude with the, he had the six pack, he had the cum gutters.
Right.
You know,
I call him either the D'Angelo or the Usher V cuts.
I call him V cuts.
The cum gutters.
Okay,
so
I got
you. But this dude was like, I didn't know pickles was cucumbers. And you like, So what I'm saying, even if the sex is bananas, if he's dumb, that's going to wear out. If he's got nothing else but banging sex, then after a while, I mean, wherever you're at sexually, that may last.
Sometimes it's so good. It's like when I talk about the broke dick.
Yeah,
here
but
we
you
go
still
again.
Be like,
I'd be like, yo, start an Amazon store. Do something, please, because this dick's involved.
But, right, but
wait,
point
let's
is,
take it back to sleepovers, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying, of course, it means something.
Sure, I'm hanging with
what
you.
What if he's homeless?
No, I'm talking about, let's say sleepovers.
Okay.
What if he got allergies and his mattress is got,
you're at his house, he invites you over, tells you to come through, it's 11 p.m. Let's do that time frame. 11 p.m., you come over to fuck. What happens when now it's 2 and he doesn't ask you to go home? Is that an intentional sleepover? Does that mean something?
And this is what I tell dudes who listen to my podcast. Just ask. Like,
ask
I could
what?
Just say, yo, if you staying? You know? Like, even when you said your dude.
What about with women? You're telling them they should be like, hey, like, is this something? Because I'm having a.
You want to. We do. Well, first of all, if you want to sleep over and you going to fuck, all you got to do is grab a nigga's dick. It's real easy.
Yeah.
You don't have to
niggas
put a
is
sign.
Easy. Valid. Know, you, valid.
Like, but I'm saying I don't do awkward. So if I'm hanging with you and I'm like, yo, you're not like, even when I was dating, if I'm with somebody and it's like, I'm like, yo, da 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 da. And I'm like, yo, if you don't like me, it's cool. I could be out. Well, you know, I just see you as a friend. Like, yeah, I don't want to be your friend. I'm not into your friend.
Fact.
I want more. I want some neck.
Yeah.
I want some ass.
I want less.
Like, whatever.
I think that's a great thing for women to start doing when they're saying, like, we're cool, we're kicking in. Like, I don't want to just be cool. So I got a lot
of things. Well, and that's been where I've been when I was in my manifestation of wanting a partner. That's where I had to be. If a guy was coming to me, well, what do you want? Well, this is what I want. If you can't give it to me, as women, you need to be okay with walking away with a man who's not willing to give you what you want.
Sure, because you're not going to be happy with it anyway.
Yeah.
It's only going to substitute
temporary
for a period.
Yeah.
And then eventually it's going to fall to pieces. And so guys, a lot of times, will be disingenuous so that they get the pussy. And then they'll be like,
they'll be lying,
but,
not authentic.
But then,
just like
then they're like,
that's
you're garbage.
Right.
So now it don't work out for them either.
But also men have to realize that there are women. We've had this podcast where we've had
where they
so
just
many
women, be.
Where there's a lot of women too that just want to be. So I think that men should be upfront more with, if that's just what you want. There are so many women out here that will be okay with
that. The question is, why are they not upfront? They're not upfront because they're insecure about what they're offering and what they have to offer. So if I go at somebody and I'm like, I know, look, if you, whatever you need, I got it. Like, I got it. Whatever you need, I got it. If I don't got it, I can get it. That means if your faucet is leaky, I got a plumber. If I can't fix it, I know a plumber. If your transmission's done, I got to do.
Come on, now you know what I mean. So, look, here you go.
You know, I've worked at a restaurants. I can cook. I've worked as a head chef for restaurants. I've every girl that I've dated of any nationality, I've adopted their cuisine. So I do Mexican, Spanish.
Nah, I'll be doing that.
Right. So. But if you're working to be the best version of yourself, I go, yo.
Okay, hold on.
I go here. This is what I got.
I will say what you're saying is kind of where I'm at. I feel like I do have, I've noticed myself and my worth and my value and what I do have to offer to a partner, which I feel like is why I have one.
Which is honest.
Because I will say back then, maybe I didn't have all the money. So I knew I wasn't really going to be able to value you for you without wanting to know what finances you had. Or I didn't really cook or know how to cook for niggas. So I didn't do it. So I definitely see exactly where you're coming from. But I think that there was the insecurities of what I could offer.
There's a context of the... I always use this as an analogy because, you know, that's what I do. there's a commercial called... it's an IKEA commercial.
Okay.
And this chick, the older chick, she comes out of the IKEA. She looks at the bill, right? And she goes, Henry! Start the car, right? It's because the bill is so cheap.
She thinks she's stealing.
And so she wants to start the car to get out before she gets caught. So this is what people do in relationships. You shoplifting the pussy. You know your garbage.
We need this as a clip. What? This is it right here. You need, not shoplifting the pussy.
You shoplifting the pussy. You know your garbage. And so you've represented yourself. And now you want to start the car. You want to shoplift and get out before you're found out that you didn't pay the proper price. Now, if I come to you and I say I got a G-Wagon.
Okay,
and I show
okay.
up with the G, I say I got this G-Wagon. Listen, bitch, give me $100, you can have this G-Wagon. You're not even going to go, yo, don't be calling me a bitch. You're going to be like, this nigga's giving me a G-Wagon for
$100.
I'm not even going, I'm not, because you know it's what you're paying is not worth it. So the point is, if my value, if I'm working on me being the best version of myself and my value is what it is, then I don't have to, there's no negotiation. Nobody is haggling at the Bentley shop.
I love it.
This is what the price is. This is what I
want. Take it or leave it.
Now, this is a great escort conversation. Let me just say. I'll be like, first of all, these are brand spanking new.
Right.
And maybe it was this, but now it's four figures.
It's Corinthian leather. You know, it's, but that's the problem is people are lazy and they don't want to be the best version of themselves. And then they're putting themselves in a situation, they're negotiating with something. So you're a used car salesman, dog. There's no engine in that. Stop.
You, say like, no, shit. That was
you
a,
know, the I, transmission is
this
gone.
This was your best analogy.
That was the best one. Now, let's snap for that best analogy now. All right. Before we get out of here, we're going to do a whole confession from someone. Did you see who it was from?
No.
He doesn't want his name said, but he's someone that's been to a lot of our shows
that's
and he
Jeff.
Really supports us.
I'm playing.
But the title is Period Sex because I need some backup, apparently. So don't use my name. I'm not embarrassed, but I just didn't ask her permission to share the story, respecting her privacy. I bet you learned that from us. I was dating this fine Latina chick. Why you had to tell us that?
Right. We got a lot of goddamn home mails letting us know the race and ethnicities of people.
We should be shady. And we had some great chemistry. We fucked outdoors in the car, in the restaurant, you name it. She came over and was giving me head, the most amazing head. I wanted to fuck her so bad. Went for her panties and she was like, wait, I'm on my period. To which I responded, shut up, Mandy. Heavy or light day? And she said light day. And that was a green light for me. I proceeded to finger her simultaneously, fish out the tampon string and yanked it out. Once that was out, it was on. We fucked like bunny rabbits, doggy style. When our sexual excursion was over, she was amazed that I fucked her while on her period, to which I responded, I don't give a fuck about a little blood. And after we laid in the bed, she looked at my white curtains and noticed blood splatter. She was horrified. I didn't give a fuck because my housekeeper was coming to clean.
Well, but she was blood don't clean out of that shit.
Bruh. Yeah, cold water and stuff.
All right. All right. She was embarrassed that the housekeeper would have to clean the blood off the curtains. She washed, dried, and ironed the curtains so the housekeeper wouldn't know. Until this day, we referred to it as the CSI murder scene. I just wanted Weezy to not feel alone and Mandy to not be so judgmental. What's a little blood between partners? It's just a booty hole. Peg the Stallion. All I love right. you both, but don't hack it till you try it, Mandy. Period. Sex is great. Love seeing y'all on tour. A mad love to my faves. Let me say something to you, sir. You acted like this was part of what I do. First of all, anybody.
This is what you do.
I have never, ever you said it was a light day.
You ain't squirt blood on a curtain, but you be fucking with your blood.
And they ain't pulling it out.
They ain't pulling what out?
My tampon for me.
Oh, you pull it out yourself? Ooh, that's the only difference?
First of all, I do a very good, like, oh my God, don't look down there. You know what I'm saying? I turn the lights off. I ain't have no daytime sex on my period. And the other part about the shit is.
Yeah, I've pulled it out with my teeth, shook it, and threw it against the wall. So it's whatever.
You did what?
Come on.
You pulled it out with your teeth?
Right off the show, man. I want to.
No, come on. No. Go ahead. Go ahead. No. This is your type of shit.
No.
You
no.
probably gonna have a nigga fish out a tampon of you next time. You probably gonna get the Diva cup just so he could get up in there and pull it out yourself. No, you don't want him to pull out your cup.
Why'd you pull it out with your teeth?
Because it's sexy.
It's, that's what it is. It's like.
Was she like shy about the shit?
Of course. But it was also like, God.
My homegirl, that happened to her, and she has been in love ever since.
He
did it on the first time they had sex.
No!
With his teeth. I swear to God.
I want to leave.
And now they're in love.
Thank you so much for coming, everybody. No. Let's go. Dante. No.
I've done that, and then on with a girl on the period, and then she went to get up, and I'm going to stay there. And I've gotten a basin with warm soapy water and wiped her down.
A basin?
A little
baby bath.
I know what a basin is.
And wiped her down, cleaned her up, and then covered her up.
Now that is body worshiping in another and you world go, that I've never and experienced.
So she go in her head.
So what, you a jack of all trades? You a nurse too?
I mean, I've been around the block. I ain't no spring chicken. This is, you know what I'm saying? We've done it all.
Listen.
But it's you got to understand that those subtle things communicate other things. It's, if I can do that.
I love you.
It's
right,
you
know, right.
I got you. Like you
now,
I mean.
Now, did you love the woman that you did that to?
But I would say this.
So don't mean shit, ladies.
But my nature is what I'm not saying that I loved her. But what
you
I'm saying,
I fucked with her heart.
No, but I'm saying I did fuck with her heart. But my nature is to be. To take care of you. So I'm you know, it's
ain't
like
no matter if I fuck with you, love you or not, I'm gonna take care of you. Bitch.
I got you.
All right. So ladies, we'll never know. Actions do not tell us if a man loves us or not.
She came from the UK. I mean, I see why. All right. And
all right. So Dante, where can our followers find you? I know you plugged a couple times. We also are going to put it in the description of this episode.
Okay.
But where can our followers find you?
My podcast is Manschool202.
Yeah, right.
Manschool.com. It's on my Instagram, The Dante Nero.
We might name this episode Manschool.
the DanteNero.com. If you want to book time with me, consult with me, whatever. It's you go to DanteNero.com, you click on consult, and you can just book the time
and
right
then
on the website.
Hit the one under there that says fish out tampon. He does exclusive and, classes for that.
And you can check my YouTube page is Manschool202, Dante Nero. Everything's under Dante Nero and Manschool202. Pretty much you can find everything from that.
Well, perfect. Thank you so appreciate very much
thank
for joining
for
us.
Me.
I love all the little analogies and all the little. I think you really did school quite a few people, and I think we can still come out here knowing that men are not ace.
This is going to be fun to see the comments because I normally, for the most part, whenever we do an episode, I know when people will like someone. And I know people will like you, especially the men, but I want to know what women are going to think. Are they going to be angry? Are they going to be happy? Are they going to feel neutral?
Well, here's the thing. If they're frauds...
Oh, say no, like say it. Right. If you a fraud, you ain't gonna like me. Pull
you
ain't like me.
Oh, what do you think? Because I feel like they gonna be neutral.
So I don't read the comments anymore, but to me...
No, I mean, on our Instagram, we ask for people's opinions.
Oh, on Instagram, yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna compare you to anyone else. I think that people are just gonna enjoy this whole conversation. Not only with what you had to say, but I think it's really gonna have our people thinking like, damn.
Yeah.
Let me rethink how what I'm doing, what I'm putting out there, how I view myself, how I value myself, what I want out of my partners. I think everything you said, everyone can relate to.
I want to add one thing I think is really important.
Go ahead.
Relationships are very easy. And
okay.
People overcomplicate. All you need to do is understand what your non-negotiables are and then never negotiate them.
So that's great advice.
But you have to be honest about what your non-negotiables. So if you got a guy and you're saying that fidelity is non-negotiable, that means if he steps out,
you leave.
You gotta go.
My therapist has told me that I have 5 and 3 of them have to be there. I feel like some are kind of wavering for me.
Yeah.
Like one of them was making more money than me. And I was in that non-negotiable. But like the more that I grew and the more I got older, I was like, I might not have that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I don't even think about that no more.
I don't.
I can make 6 figures, so we good.
Isn't that crazy how...
We good.
I don't know. It's just now if they got 3 out of 5, I'm cool. Fuck it. I can work on the rest.
I really like that. I really like that. Well,
that's great advice.
Guys, we are going to leave you guys with a 5-minute bonus clip from our Patreon.
That's right.
If you want 3 extra bonus episodes every month, we drop 3 of them, one including a town hall where you get to kind of join into the conversation. So if you want to become a patron, join us over at patreon.com/horrible decisions.
Y'all get in on us and be like, y'all always forget the clip. It's just that I think it's included on audio. Is that true?
It's always included on audio.
So why do we always forget it on YouTube? Is it your fault? BlameBenson.com.
Yeah, Blame Benson. Because, I mean...
It says on the title, minus Patreon.
That's the description. Yeah, but that's the edit that I send you.
Yeah.
But he needs the Patreon.
But sometimes he can't get the Patreon yet because we pre-record and I insert clips.
Oh, he's
clips
doing
from
the audio.
Yeah, he has to overlay the audio onto the video.
Right.
It might be
the new website is blamebensonandmandysometimes.com.
y'all about to blame iHeart because I ain't doing that shit no more. But anyways, if y'all are also all caught up with horrible decisions, y'all know every Monday after you guys listen to us, you can go on over to Period Sis. That is my other podcast. And I also want to thank everyone who has been supportive of my official box owner subscription box. I'm super excited that you guys are a part of that. And also on Tuesday, if y'all want to holler at me, See the Thing Is, go ahead and holler at me. And Weezy's also on Tuesdays. So if you all caught up with that and sick of hearing my voice, you can go on over to listen to For Fact's Sake. And I love
Eddie's
voice.
But if you're sick of hearing us, I think you may need to listen to Dante.
what days is your episodes drop?
I drop every Tuesday.
Boom! Fuck you! Money to us!
God damn it!
All right, well, thank you guys. This has been another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye!
I know where I don't want to start. No, I'm just kidding. Let's start with Ashley and Michael, because that's really where I don't want to go.
You know what's crazy? I'm not sure if the rest of y'all agree. Let me know in the chat. But I actually am liking Ashley more this season than I've liked her in previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think that baby has done her motherfucking good. I think she grew up a little bit. But I do think that is why she is still going through shit with Mr. Michael.
Mm-hmm.
She admitted this season that they have added people to the bedroom. And he came out recently and was like, I don't feel like you're married to me anymore. You show all of your attention to the baby. And she also opened up about how she doesn't want to swing anymore. And he's like, well, shit, you ain't giving me attention and you don't want to do this anymore. I'm not gonna lie. I didn't like what he said in the therapy session, but he pretty much just feels like he's not having the same sexual relationship with Ashley as when they first started their relationship. What are your views on that, Asante? And Tammy, I see Tammy raise her hand. Raise your hand so that we can talk about what y'all's thoughts are on Ashley and Michael Darby's relationship. But Asante, we'll start with you.
Yeah, while you tally them up, let me just start with, I don't have any favorites. I hate them all equally. I mean, they all really play in the mess, which is why we're here, right? It's just, right. I don't like the play in the mess where we're going to hide our hand because of respectability politics thing that we're doing. I get that that's where they think that they are, but they're really not. So I just need that veil dropped. Now, to get back to Ashley and why I hate her, Michael wanted to having a baby over, you wouldn't hold that over her head because of the way that her mom was. That should have been a huge red flag of, do you want to go half with this white man who really wants to say, you know, who wants to emotionally abuse you? And then we're going to open up this conversation about, you know, letting people into the bedroom, right? Michael, since season one, has grabbed ass on camera. Now, unless we gonna do the red table talk with Will and Jada, if Will need to come to and we need everybody to be accountable, let's go on ahead and say, not only do we open our bedroom up, but we open it up to both sexes. So everybody can stop motherfucking asking about the gay shit. Because Michael, you didn't even talk about why you told this woman you had a wife and a boyfriend. We didn't go back there.
Are you waiting to go back there? Because that has not been brought up again. And I was wanting more details on that.
Ashley cleared up the fact that the fact that there was a nigga in the room, or, you know, that he did go up with said woman, but did not clear up why he told said woman he got a wife and a boyfriend. So yeah, y'all let me in, but are you saying, like, okay, so who's this boyfriend? You know, I don't care if you got asked, like, you know, have we slept with him before, or, like, you know, however you need to feel comfortable normalizing it, you need to do it, because quit pussyfooting around and then arguing with black old ass Bill Gates who don't love his damn wife no more, like, on the reunions. That should just be so. Sorry, wrong segue.
No, so I'm not going to lie. And I'm about to let Mia talk on this topic as well. But I think that that's my problem. And we've talked about it, if you guys noticed, not only with Red, but Zach, who was our guest this week. We've had bisexual men on the show. And I think it may come to where maybe Ashley doesn't want to admit that she is okay with Michael being bisexual. So I think she used the swinging as a way to, like, let it just be known that, yeah, we allow other people into the bedroom. But I think for whatever reason, there's still shame in women admitting that they're okay with being with a man that may like to play with men. And that's just, I think, where she finds not being okay with admitting. She would rather just be like, y'all, we're swingers and we let other people in the room. Mia, if you can go ahead and unmute, what you got to say about the Darbies, sis?
So, can y'all hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Just
fine.
Okay, so I definitely, in the beginning, didn't like either one of them. I did feel like Ashley was always doing the most, always in everybody's business, all that. I do feel like Asante said, what I think about Michael is, like, he just kept moving the goalpost on Ashley. Like, and now... Yep. She has gotten to the goalpost finally. Like, he held the damn baby, and then it was, you know, now it's, you don't, you're not here for me, but her baby is fresh out.